Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Before we start, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me how you came to be a novelist and what you did before this.
Well, I started out when I was a kid of 15 years of age, writing for the local newspaper in Brockville, Ontario. And I just love the newspapers. And the newspapers for many years were, as I've often said, were the magic carpet that took me all over the world. And I ended up working for the Toronto Star and Maclean's magazine. I was the critic at the movie critic at the Toronto Star. I wrote magazine pieces all over North America and New York and in Toronto. Wrote screenplays for a number of years, but all that time I was always writing novels on the side as well. So a couple of years ago, I got introduced to Sanibel Island by my brother, who is the president of the Chamber of Commerce down there. Kathy, my wife, and I fell in love with it. My brother said, listen, you've written novels that take place in Paris. You've written novels that take place in Los Angeles. Why don't you write something that takes place in down here in Sanibel, where there are all sorts of people who want to buy books like that? So I'd always wanted to write a detective novel, and I thought, well, might be interesting to set a very unlikely detective on a very unlikely island off the west coast of Florida and see what happens to him. So the result a year ago was the Sanibel Sunset Detective, and it did very well. And so now I'm back again with the Sanibel Sunset Detective Returns.
And tell me what sets this detective apart from what you might expect from a detective.
Well, he shouldn't be a detective. Tree Callister is a great guy. He's a former newspaper reporter in Chicago, from Chicago. He's moved down to Sanibel Island with his wife, Freddie. She's got a job there, but he's sort of at loose ends. He's been downsized by his newspaper. Newspapers were his life. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He decides to become a private detective. Well, everybody thinks he's crazy. He's the most unlikely private detective imaginable on an island where it's not exactly evident that they need any private detectives at all.
And why is that? What
well,
is Sanibel
it's
like?
A very quiet, small, law-abiding island. But Tree, bless his heart, manages to find the odd corpse lying around under a palm tree, and that keeps both Tree and me going.
Well, that's great. What a beautiful location. It must be inspiring to see a beautiful location and put something as odd as a murder in there.
Yes, I've never had so much fun as I've had in my writing life as I've had doing these novels. I've published novels and nonfiction on and off with major publishing houses over the years. But my old friend Brian Valley and I he started a publishing company called West End Books, and we came together to do these private detective novels. I have never had so much fun in my life. I've never met so many readers, and I've never had so much success with a book as I've had with these books. So it's been a great thrill, totally unexpected. I was wallowing around writing screenplays for years, very unsatisfied with that, although I love movies, but it just was a very, very unsatisfying way for a writer to earn a living. But this is great. It's great fun, and as a matter of fact, I'm now at work on the third Tree Callister novel. So come back in a year's time, we'll have another party.
Sounds good to me. Tell me a little bit about the adventure that Tree gets up to in this second novel.
Well, he's in big trouble this time. The police seem to think he's responsible for a couple of murders. He's being accused of having an affair with a client. And, there are a couple of alligators eyeing him for lunch. So lots more suspense, page-turning thrills, and hopefully a great plot twist to keep the reader reading. The whole idea is to have fun with the books. They're entertainments, and as I say, my main ambition is to keep you, the reader, reading. So hopefully we achieve that.
And you've said you've had a lot of fun writing them. What is it you think people really enjoy about a good mystery?
You know what, Gloria, I'm not absolutely sure about that. I am amazed because I'm out a lot doing book signings and that sort of thing, particularly down in Florida. People are ravenous for mysteries. They devour them. The only thing I can liken it to is perhaps romantic novels, and you know, where it's well known that women will devour them by the truckload. But it's almost the same with mysteries. People just love them, and these are kind of shaggy dog mysteries too. They're not Agatha Christie, but they're not Raymond Chandler either. So they sort of fall in between, but people seem to love it. And I've never had such feedback or such response to anything I've written, either as a journalist or a novelist in my life, as I've had to these books. But you know, in a world where the crime rates are falling, where, you know, on an island like Sanibel, where you're totally safe, where there's virtually no crime. People love this stuff. It's quite amazing.
I guess we just like to live on the edge.
I think so. I think, you know what it is that it used to be that literature was a kind of class. There were two things about novels and literature. At one time, it was sort of a class warfare. You were Alla Jane Austen. You were a young woman trying to better herself in a world which wanted you to stay in your place. And, of course, the best thing in the world you could do was to marry a rich guy. Well, that creates all sorts of conflict. And that was a lot of novels in those days. Then when I was growing up in the 60s, it was sex. You know, things that you couldn't hear about or see anywhere else, you could read about in novels. And so there was novels pushed the envelope at that point. And so I think people ran to things like Peyton Place and The Carpetbaggers and Lady Chatterley's Lover because they were forbidden fruit. Well, all that's gone by the boards, of course. But I think mysteries in a world where you can marry anybody you want pretty well, where the sorts of conflicts that used to produce great drama and great fiction have sort of gone by the boards, in mysteries and murder mysteries, there's still that murder. There's still that conflict. There's still action that doesn't take place otherwise in our lives. And I think we still find that very, very attractive.
It kind of mirrors what's going on in TV. It's the mysteries on TV,
yes,
like Lost and all those dramas,
exactly,
that do so very,
yeah,
well.
I mean, you think, no, they can't have another police procedural on network television. The next thing you know, there's another guy in a vest with a gun in his hand or her hand. It's incredible. So, yes, I mean, there seems to be a ferocious appetite for this stuff. And it's a thirst that seems to be unquenchable. So I hope. But I'm having a great deal of fun with it anyway.
That's amazing. Well, thanks, Ron, and I can't wait to read the second one.
Well, thank you, Gloria, as always. Great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.